Okay. Good to see everybody here this evening. We're going to have a lesson called about the benefits of a small church. And over the years, I've learned that sometimes there's an advantage to being a part of a small church. And sometimes, yeah, we wish we had more people. But just because we are not large does not mean we are worthless or unimportant. And that's how the world looks at it. If we just have a few, then we don't really amount to anything. We don't measure up. I mean, I know for many years, a lot of congregations of the Lord's people have been relatively small, like 40, 50, 30, 20. And some of the mainline churches, they have these big, huge auditoriums filling up thousands of people in them. But yet, they're very loose with their translation of God's word, and they're not teaching the truth. And so they're pointing a finger out, hey, you're worthless. You don't measure up. Nobody wants to be a part of you. And, of course, that's not true, but we've had that accusation many times. And sometimes we might get concerned because we are small. Because we're not growing, we're not bringing people in, and yeah, we still need to work on that. But I mean, there's benefits of a small church. There's a few disadvantages, but there's still some benefits of a small church which you cannot find in a larger church. And so churches come in all sizes, and we know that. Some are large, numbering in the thousands, even tens of thousands. Well, mostly denominations have groups that big. You know, Joel Osteen, his place will hold about 22,000 people. But he doesn't teach the truth, and we know that. And some are small, with as few as two or more people meeting in a home. It could be in a home or it could be in a building. When I was in Ranger, there's a little town about 4 miles away named Olden, and they had a Church of Christ. And they had three people there. And they finally closed the doors when the preacher died. But they were just a small group, and they didn't want to change. They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to drive 4 miles to go to church. And so they were just content to stay there. And, of course, you wonder how effective they really are. And the definition of church size is rather arbitrary. It really doesn't matter. What is important is the Lord reverenced here? Is the Lord respected here? Is the Lord obeyed by our membership? Now, that's the important thing that we need to be considering when it comes to our church size. And each size has its advantages, and that's true. I mean, there are things a larger church can do with its increased resources. I know there are several large churches that they send out thousands upon thousands of dollars to preachers all over the world, and they help them out, and they have that ability. They have the resources to do so, and I've benefited that myself from time to time. When I was in Ranger, I needed some financial help, and some churches helped me out, and some were generous, and some just $200 a month, but that was better than nothing. And so there's larger churches have that ability to do a lot more with their resources. But there are benefits of small churches often lost in large churches. And I want to concentrate on that because that's where we are. We have a much stronger sense of family. When you pack 400 people into a room, I mean, you're just in a part of a crowd. That's all you're in. You're in a crowd. You're in a herd. I mean, that's no other way to look at it. But yet, when we're small, when we know everyone by name, and when we get to know each other even better as we spend time, even away from the building, we spend time together. I mean, we get a stronger sense of family. We are family. And that's how we look at it, and that's how we treat it. And a small church is one where almost everyone knows each other. And yes, I've been a member of several small churches, but also been a member of a large church. And what gets me is one time I was in a church in Houston, and there was like 400 members, And I think it was really big. And the preacher did a lot of gospel meeting work, so they would have people fill in. And I filled in a few times for him. And I would get up and lead singing every now and then. And one day I was just standing there, and one of the elders walked up. "Are you visiting with us?" "One of the elders. Okay." Well, at that moment I said, "We're in the wrong place. And so let's go check out. We hear good things about this church up there, another 20 miles up the road." So we went and checked it out, and we really appreciated that group. It was a smaller group, but they had more of a family atmosphere than a lot of us do. And actually, it was kind of like the Hopes. There were like three or four families. They were actually family, but still, they welcomed us and treated us like family as well. And so face-to-face interaction is much easier. It's easier just to be able to sit there and talk to somebody rather than just passing by, hi, and be on your way. So even when we don't remember their names, we remember their face. Some people have difficulty with names. It takes me a little while to figure them out and put the right face with who, or husband-wife teams. Okay, here's the husband, here's the wife, and it takes a while sometimes for me to do that. But we also know repetition does this. When we repeat things over and over, I mean, we do that. And so, but don't feel bad when you're not able to remember names from time to time. I mean, some of our guys, we forget names every now and then. And a small church is one where it's easier to develop familial relationships. I'm talking feeling like family, so friendly with each other. And sometimes some of my church family has been a whole lot better to me than physical family. And I think a lot of people realize that, and a lot of people are faced with that. And that's why it's so important to develop this type of relationship, so that we feel like family and we can count on each other and we care for each other and we love each other. And it's easier in a small church than it is in a larger church. And so it is a sense of family, and that is proper because we are the family of God, and God tells us that. You know, 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 talks about that very fact. Yes, we are that family. Let's turn over real quick if you got a moment. It says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity." I mean, it's a sense of family. I mean, we all of us, think of Alfred's mom, Grandma. She's Grandma. That's it. I mean, Grandma's family. And so, I mean, that's how we look at it. And we can do that. And it's an opportunity to cross generational lines. Now, most of us, we're getting up within a certain generation. The two youngest ones here are John and Kathy. And and we do have opportunities with Gina and Joey where we can all interact with each other and talk with each other. I remember one congregation I was a member of, the old people went over on that side of the building. Young people went to this side of the building. As soon as the amen was said, they didn't interact. And then something would erupt in a business meeting, and there'd be talking back and forth. "You old people do this," or "You young whippersnappers do that." And so, being a small church, okay, we don't have that problem, and we should not have that problem. And sometimes if we had children, they would learn to relate to others beside other children. I know this is a problem with small churches. As people come in, they move to the area, they come in, there's no kids for their kids to associate with. And so they don't like that. And they eventually get to the point where, well, we're going to compromise our beliefs so that our children will have friends in church. And so they do that. And there's an opportunity is for young people. I mean, the church I told you that we went to after the big church that we left, I mean, some of the elderly folks would invite us over on Sunday night. Here I am with two small children, and they would invite us over and just talk to us and talk about their lives. And sometimes they'd have Bible studies and invite us to participate. And there was a connection there. And it was very special because here's these ones with all this wisdom, they're imparting their knowledge. And we who are older, we should take this advice that we read here in 1 Timothy 5 and then also in Titus chapter 2, the older men are teach the younger men how to get through this life. Older women teach the younger women all the things about this life they need to know, because the older ones have more experience and sometimes they have more wisdom, and it'd be good for these people. So young and old benefit from each other's strengths. And I know a lot of the older ladies, I mean, all the kids flock to them. I mean, they were almost like grandma or aunt something. And she loved them all, and she treated them as if she loved them all, and that was great. And so, yeah, I mean, things like that. And so the family of God is a wonderful blessing, and we know that. Mark 10, 28 through 30. I mean, it's this family relationship, brothers and sisters with a common goal, and that's the way God designed it. And it's a blessing most often experienced in small churches, but not so in the larger churches. See, there's also greater opportunities to grow. And let's face it, the roles to fulfill are not that much different between large and small churches. Still need a song leader. They need somebody to lead prayer. And they need somebody to do the Lord's Supper and a closing prayer and other duties. See, in a small group like us, I mean, we're using all the men we got tonight in our service. And that's pretty much the way it has been for several months, especially after this pandemic started. And a lot of people decided to play it safe, and they haven't been here. And so, yes, and I'm so thankful for the few that we have here. And I appreciate them so very much. I love the prayers that Al says. I mean, it just mean a lot to me. They're so personal. And that's what prayers are supposed to do, is touch our hearts so that we can agree with what it is. And yes, scripture readings, song leading, that we all do. I mean, it's a great opportunity. And roles such as serving in public worship and Bible classes. We've taken times, we've had people teach class. And I've put out feelers and seeing if there's any young people who want to learn to become a preacher. I'll be glad to mentor them, and I've let it be known. And hopefully we could get some young people in here, and they would be willing to learn. And then we would use them in our worship service. We would use them from the pulpit and the Bible classes. So we could do that. All we need is to encourage them and teach them. So whether large or small, the number of teachers and preachers, song leaders that are needed is really about the same for the needs. I mean, if we had three children, we'd have one person going back and taking them through class. And we would do that. And so that's what we would do. Song leaders, it's nice that we have four song leaders tonight. Sometimes Joey leads singing, and that's fine too. And we can do that. And I know the large congregation in Houston, they have about 45 people who can lead singing. So you got to figure, if they just have an opportunity, I mean, it's like 3 months between times when they lead singing. 3 or 4 months before their name comes up in the rotation again. And so a large church, I mean, you don't get that many opportunities. Usually those who are inexperienced are not asked because they're inexperienced. And that people aren't given an opportunity to learn how to be a song leader in these large groups. They leave it to the ones who are more experienced. And I think that's a tragedy. That's a shame. And I do know several people that they weren't great song leaders, I have to admit, but they were basically forbidden from the eldership. You will not lead singing because you're so bad. And that is just so wrong as far as I'm concerned. Now, the ratio of roles to members is usually much greater in small churches. In other words, like I say, we have four things need to be done tonight. We got four people participating. And in a larger church, you need four people to do something, and there's a lot more members. So, yeah, I mean, we could consider maybe it's a disadvantage, or maybe not. Simply because we do not have a large pool of members to choose from, we're going to get by and do what we can do. And there's often a greater need in small churches. I do know of small churches. I was a part of a group that basically there were two men. One song leader and one preacher, and then we split the praying and the Lord's Supper. I mean, it was that way for a while. And larger churches often require a large rotation in its use of members to make people fit. Because if you're only asked to do something once every 4 or 5 months, I mean, you get to the point where, would they miss me if I didn't show up? I mean, you wonder about that. And opportunities to preach and teach classes, serve in public worship, may be rare in a large church. And so, especially if they have two or three preachers. Some large churches have two or three preachers, and they just work on a rotation. And people, young men who want to become preachers, I mean, they're kind of left out. They have to go to small churches around and find those in order to preach from time to time. And so one may have the opportunity to be used only once in a long while. You know, for some people, that's no problem. Some people, well, if I don't have to say a prayer, I'm okay with that. Or if I don't have to lead singing, I'm okay with that. And some people are that way. But people who want to do it, they don't have the opportunity. Smaller churches use those willing to serve much more frequently. And yes, even when we had a larger group, there were some people didn't want to do certain things. So, guess what? We learned who they were, and we didn't put their name on the list for that particular duty. All right. See, out of necessity at times, but can also be by design. Yeah, sometimes it's that way. And small churches are often the training ground where leaders for large churches develop their skills. That's very true. I mean, if it wasn't for small churches giving preachers the opportunity to preach, there wouldn't be any strong preachers in the brotherhood. And so probably the best preachers of all come from those small groups where they sit there and they discuss things, and the members are actually smart enough to say, okay, now you said this, now maybe you could have said it this way. I mean, to take on a mentoring type of atmosphere where we want to help and teach and train these people. Because people who aren't that mature may not know how to handle certain things. And we've definitely had some challenges the past few weeks. And someone who wasn't as skilled may not handle that the same way. So one's absence is more keenly felt in a small church. If all of a sudden somebody didn't show up, everybody would know. Doesn't matter who you are. And yeah, we miss John on Sunday mornings every other week because of his work schedule. And we miss him. I got a hold of Dennis. He said he'd been working late, so he's going to try and adjust his schedule where he can start coming back again. But still, in a small church, I mean, you notice if somebody's not there. In a large church, guess what? They're lost in the crowd. I mean, it's so easy to do. You tell someone, yeah, I was at the ball game the other day. I was in the crowd. And they taped it and said, where is it? Where is it? Where? you don't see them. Well, in a large church, sometimes people are like that. I mean, if they're not there where they normally would be, they may not be missed. They may not be missed for weeks. And so, especially when needed to fulfill a certain role, like we need a Bible class teacher and so-and-so is supposed to be here, but the kids are in there and no teacher. So somebody has to be on standby to go in there and fill in. See, one's absence can be overlooked for several weeks in a larger church. For those needing encouragement, this is important. A lot of people need encouragement on a regular basis, and if they're not getting that encouragement, then they're really in the wrong place. And it really takes a little bit of wisdom to realize that. A lot of people, they're okay. Man, don't ask me to do anything. I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to come here and then go home. I mean, some people have that attitude. So it is too easy to get lost in a crowd. And we need brethren who will take notice when we begin to show signs of weakness. And that we can do in a small church. A larger church, it's a lot harder to see. So we're supposed to be there to encourage one another. And if necessary, to discipline someone if they need it. We've got to be careful. If one who has departed the faith, we got to try and get them back, but not to the point where we lose our own faith. We have to pay attention to what we have. And so we should be trying to restore such a one. And proportionally speaking, more preachers, teachers, elders, and average members have been developed by small churches than large churches. Because in the Church of Christ, there's really not that many large congregations. Well, I say large. I mean, we might consider 25 people large, but the way we have been the past few months, but if everybody was here, we'd still have less than 25. You realize that? I mean, sure, we had a lot more. They moved away. I mean, so, and some have decided to go elsewhere because, well, the kids. I mean, Akbar's didn't have any kids here with them, so they went where they have kids. All right. Now, the obligations of a small church, and we're talking not only what the church has to offer the members, but what the members have to offer the church. All of us need to nurture that sense of family, and we can understand that. And congregationally, by providing opportunities for spiritual fellowship and spiritual growth. That's what we should be doing, providing these opportunities. And we do this by Bible classes, and if we ever got a point, we'd do gospel meetings. I mean, those are rare out here. I know back in Texas and other parts of the world, they have gospel meetings all the time. Now, 2020 did put a strain on it, and a lot of meetings were canceled in 2020. And they're looking forward to getting back. But, I mean, it's just where you basically, you take a whole week and have preaching every night of the week. And you encourage your members to come. You send out flyers and invitations to other congregations for them to come and visit with us while we have this Bible preaching. I mean, it can happen. And occasionally we hear about a gospel meeting in the area. And our problem is, you know, we're so far away, and with traffic the way it is, it's difficult to get out any distance and make it on time. I understand that. But for the most part, they've just given up on gospel meetings. And, of course, they don't do visitation programs to encourage the weak and take care of the sick. But we kind of do that, don't we? We look out for each other. I mean, Chris takes care of Della. She goes and checks on Della. And others of us, we go and check on others and see how they're doing. Some of us, we have family that we know is going to take care of someone. So it's something that we can do. But individually, by providing opportunities for hospitality, inviting someone into your home for a Bible study or singing some songs, inviting them just to get to know each other. I mean, that's a great opportunity that we should have as family, and we should be comfortable with each other. Get to the point you're so comfortable that you know where the coffee is, and you know how to pour the coffee and make the coffee. I mean, when it runs low, you just make it yourself. Or if you feel like it, I mean, if you're there, the dinner is done, do the dishes. So, I mean, do something like that. So that's opportunities that we have. And so inviting others into our homes and going out together. If it wasn't for this pandemic, we'd be taking time and we'd go eat at restaurants together and stuff like that, which we did before that. And getting together for social occasions, like potlucks and stuff. I mean, we have different parties. We have get-togethers. I mean, when Randy and Gina were here, I mean, they had their home open several times, and we'd have a get-together, and everybody was invited, and we enjoyed that time. And we don't like to forget the times like that. So as we seek to nurture our sense of family, we must be careful not to limit our efforts to those in our physical families. Yes, we still have to take care of our physical families, and we have a responsibility there. And there in 1 Timothy 5, he talks about anyone who will not take care of their own family has denied the faith, and they're worse than an infidel. And so small congregations provide opportunities for growth. We focus more with each other. We focus more on our studies. We focus more on the details of what we are studying. When you have a very large crowd, you can't really go into a lot of detail most of the time. But with a small crowd, we can. That's why it takes us 5, 6, 7 weeks to get through one chapter in our book. I mean, because we take the time and we discuss it, and we make sure we understand it, and everybody understands where we're coming from. And that's growth taking place. Whether you realize it, that is growth taking place. Because we are thinking, we are using our heads, and it's taking there. And so we're training those willing to learn and serve. We should be willing to do that. And if someone shows interest in learning, we've got to be there. We've got to offer them the opportunities that maybe we were given when we were younger. And men's classes and serving in public worship. I know I've been with a few congregations where the elders said, we're going to have some classes. We're going to take our young men, bring them in here. We're going to teach them responsibilities as far as preaching and teaching, but just leading prayers and assisting on the Lord's table and their overall demeanor in church and their service to the Lord. In song leading, to select songs that are appropriate for the occasion. And so, yes, I mean, when an eldership does that, the congregation gets stronger. In some churches, they don't have men's training classes or ladies' training classes, and they just basically drift off into nothing. Ladies' classes on teaching ladies and children, having the opportunity to teach. And like I said, this is where we find in Titus 2. Older women teach the younger women how to love their children and how to be good servants at home and to love their husbands. I mean, we're supposed to learn these things from each other. And then, of course, since we are few, utilize those willing to develop their abilities and talents. Anybody who wants to develop, I mean, we're there to help each other do that. And we provide opportunities for men willing to preach and lead singing. We'll do that. And likewise for women willing to teach children or other women. I mean, that we had ladies' Bible class for several months before this pandemic came in here. And I think, from what I understand, everybody enjoyed it very much. So what we have to be aware of as a small church is to watch for stagnation. I mean, this can affect a large church. It can affect a small church. People can become stagnant. And it is tempting to want to remain small. It is tempting to let the status quo run as it is. But all of a sudden we realize, okay, so-and-so isn't here anymore. And so-and-so isn't here anymore. And we have a so-and-so who's moved to Florida, one who's moved to Texas, and we have many who moved to Tennessee, and people aren't there. And so we have to be very careful we don't become stagnant. And so because of the advantages of a small congregation, its warmth, its friendliness, and so forth, there's a special place in our heart for a small congregation. It is there. But we have to be very careful and watchful that we don't become stagnant. As long as we have spiritual growth taking place, then we're okay. And we're doing what God wants us to do, and we look for opportunities to share the message with others. And hopefully we can convert people and get them to start coming and attending with us. See, the Lord expects us to grow, not only as individuals, but as congregations. The Lord expects us to grow. And Matthew 13, 31 and 32, and John 15, 1 through 2. I mean, we're part of the vine of what Jesus is, and we cannot survive outside of that vine. I mean, we're the branches of what Jesus is, and we cannot survive apart from the vine. And so we're supposed to be growing, and we should not be content to remain small. And we should be seeking to grow both as individuals and as a congregation. And as individuals, when we grow, we look for more opportunities to teach what we know. I mean, when Paul wrote to the Colossians, who at that time was a small group, he says, "I pray you be filled with the knowledge of his will." What happens when you're filled with the knowledge of God's will? It overflows and you start sharing it. And that's what we should be doing, sharing it with as many people as we can. We start by sharing with each other, and then we go out and we start sharing with those we know who need it. And hopefully someone will pay attention. See, if we're not on an upward spiral of growth, we are likely heading downward. Again, there are advantages to different sizes in congregations. And I'm sure we've all seen congregations of all sizes. We have watched that what formerly used to be very large congregations dwindle down to just a few. I mean, when the kids grow up, they move away. They move out to the suburbs or something. A lot of inner city churches are basically in this category. They don't have the strength and energy to get up and drive 20 miles to a larger congregation, so they just go where they've always been going. And it's getting smaller and smaller, and they wonder why. See, my point has not been to suggest one size is superior to another. I think we should all know that. I mean, it doesn't matter what size we are, as long as we are growing. But believe me, I've seen some large congregations that were stagnant. And there wasn't really a lot of zeal in those places. And it's just everybody, we're just going through the motions, just get it over with so we can go home, seemed to be the major premise of everybody's actions. So it doesn't matter what size we are. As long as we are strong in the Lord, as long as we're faithful to Him, that's what He's looking at. And He wants us to see us that way. But we should not let smallness become a hindrance. We should not get so depressed about how small we are and think that, oh no, woe is me. No. What do we have here that these other groups don't have? We have the truth. We have the fellowship with God. We have the fellowship with God and His people. They don't have that in other places. So we have some great advantages over other groups. And those other groups are probably large because they're offering amenities which are not recorded in the scriptures. They're offering the quirks and the benefits and so forth, which are not in the scriptures. So don't feel bad about it. As a small congregation, we need to focus on our strengths, which should lead to growth. And yes, we do have some strengths here. We have some people who know their Bibles. We have people who understand their Bibles, who are willing to assist others and willing to teach others and doing what they can. I mean, we have that. So we should be thankful for that. And if we do not, we will likely stagnate. if we do not die altogether. We've said this about some congregations, and I've watched it happen. We'll wait until the last person dies, and they'll close the door. And unfortunately, it does happen. And it's probably happening at alarming rates around this country right now. So we focus on our strengths as a small congregation, and it's more likely we will remain healthy when we do become a larger congregation, when we do have people start coming with us. And so that's what we need to do. We need to call people maybe who have stopped coming here. Maybe invite them back. I mean, that would be nice if we could do that. So hopefully this wasn't depressing. I hope it was uplifting for you. We won't know until I see how you respond to me. But anyway, that's our lesson. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone does need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.